1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Lord, again, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the command that you have given us to participate in this ordinance regularly. Remind us this evening of why. Greatly encourage your people here tonight. In Jesus' name. When our boys were young, they were in Little League baseball, and they were told time and time again when they were up at the plate to bat, the number one thing that they were supposed to do was to keep your eye on the ball. Don't look at the pitcher. Don't look at the infielders or the outfielders. Don't look at the fence that you want to hit over. Don't look at your parents or the fans in the stand. Keep your eye on the ball and watch the ball all the way through the swing. The same advice is helpful in the golf swing. Do I have any golfers here tonight? Maybe if one other golfer, two golfers, somewhat. And then Bruce, he's a hacker. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great golfer, he actually is. But the golf swing can be a very complicated thing. There's a lot of things that you're thinking about, the shift of weight, how to turn the hips and all of that. But again, the number one rule for the golf swing is to keep your head down and with a laser-like focus, keep your eye on the ball all the way through the swing. That is the best way that you're going to make connection. And I would also like to say that I believe that's true for the Christian faith. I believe it's very important in the Christian walk to keep our eyes on the ball, to keep our main focus on the main thing when it comes to the Christian faith. And I believe that the communion service that we keep month after month is meant to help us as Christians keep our eye on what matters most. And I actually believe that Jesus gave us this ordinance and told us to keep it regularly so that we'll keep our focus on the main thing. Because our minds get cluttered. We get involved in all kinds of activities in the church. There's all kinds of different issues. But when you come to communion, you get all your focus back on the main thing. Tonight, I want to speak a little bit before we partake of what we should be looking at when we sit at the communion table. There are different directions to look at. And the first direction would be at the communion table, we are all to look back. We are all to remember an event that happened in the past. Jesus says in verse 24, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in what? Remembrance." Verse 25, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in what? Remembrance of me." The communion service is a memorial service, and that is the main reason we gather. The people of God have gathered at the communion table to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. And when you sit at the table, every time you sit at the table, you should remember the historical facts of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Remember that he was arrested for no wrong. Remember that he went through mock trials. Remember that he was beaten. Remember that he was scourged. Remember that a crown of thorns was pressed into his skull. Remember that he carried his cross part of the way. Remember that his hands and feet were nailed to the cross. Remember the pain and the suffering, and yes, remember the gore. Remember that. Remember what Jesus suffered. Also, remember the significance of his sacrifice on the cross. Why did he go to the cross? To atone for sin. All of our sins were placed upon him. He endured the wrath of God on our behalf. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God had the sins of the world placed upon him, and he died in our place. And you remember that every single time you sit at the table. And you remember that with an appreciation and a thanksgiving. Furthermore, at the communion table, we proclaim what happened in the past. It says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he came." Literally, by keeping this ordinance, we're preaching. That's what the word means, to proclaim, means to preach. In partaking of these elements as a church, we're preaching that. The communion service is almost like a reenactment, so to speak, of what Jesus did so long ago. We kind of go through it in our minds as we sit at the table. You know, we're getting close to Good Friday and Easter, and around this time of the year, people put on passion plays, right? Where they depict what happened to Jesus. The communion service is sort of like that. We're going to take little pieces of bread in our hands, little cups of juice that remind us of the broken body of Jesus, the spilled blood of Jesus. So you look back. You remember. You remember what Christ did. And by the way, if you're a Christian here tonight, I always like to do this at the communion table. Look back when you gave your life to Jesus. Look back to that time in your life where you gave your life to Christ, when you understood the gospel message. And look back with appreciation and thanksgiving. Secondly, at the communion service, we are to look up. We're to look up. We are to look up to the Lord in worship from a place of surrender. Everything about the communion service points to the Lord, and we are to look at him. Notice all the times the word Lord is shown in our text. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We call this the Lord's Supper. We say that we're sitting at the Lord's table. We are to be looking to the Lord, looking up to the Lord from a place of surrender. We are told in Philippians chapter 2, because of the great sacrifice that Jesus made, because of the way he humbled himself, he has now been exalted to the highest level, hasn't he? And he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He did his work at the cross. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended, and he is the exalted King of kings and Lord of lords. And every time you sit at this table, it's kind of like a coronation service. You crown him. You surrender before him. You look up to him. You tell him again, you're the Lord of my life. You're the King of my life. You're everything to me. Communion service is sort of like our pledge of allegiance to Jesus Christ. The communion service, the flag of our lives comes down and the flag of Christ rises. And we remind ourselves who's in charge. So we look up and we praise him and we worship him. Thirdly, at the communion service, we should look around. And I'd like you to do that right now. Look around. Who's sitting next to you? That's what I mean. Look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ. The communion ordinance is not meant to be a private thing. The ordinance of communion is meant to be a family thing. It's meant to be a public thing. It's meant to be a group thing. The brothers and the sisters gather together and we sit at the table. And when we sit at this table as a body, as a family, we should be in good standing and fellowship with one another. We should be a people of unity, of harmony. This classic passage on the communion is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you remember, Corinth was going through a hard time, wasn't it? The church at Corinth was struggling all over the place. There was abuse of the spiritual gifts going on. There was immorality, but the biggest thing that they were dealing with as a church was disunity, division. They would gather at their agape feasts and they would cut in line when it was time to eat. The rich would be treated some way, the poor would be treated another way. It says in verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, because they're having competition among themselves. There's bickering, there's arguing. And Paul says, man, you're about to partake of the Lord's Supper. Get right with one another. And that's a very, very important part of our lives as Christians, getting along with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. It's very important. So every time you sit at the table as a Christian, you should consider, are you having issues with someone? Are you in an argument with someone? Has somebody offended you? Have you offended somebody? And you should seek to be reconciled to that brother, that sister. By the way, I think that's why We're told to do this regularly. We do it every month. A month is more than enough time to get in a fight with a brother or sister in Christ, right? So every communion service, we are focused. Every time we sit at the communion table, we look back and thank Jesus for what he did. We look up and surrender ourselves to Jesus again. And we look around and we consider, do we need to get right with somebody in our church? Or somebody in the Christian community? So we look around. Fourth, at the communion table, we also look ahead. We look forward with great hope to the future. I want you to notice something. Look again at verse 24. Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he says the same with the cup at the end of verse 5. Do this in remembrance of me. Now that is something that is a command in the original language. We are commanded to do it. It's in the continual present tense, which means it is supposed to be a regular thing. As long as we're here, as long as we're in this church age, we are to regularly, often, partake of communion. Until when? Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is something that we are only going to do in this age. When Jesus comes again, we will no longer take communion. We won't need symbols, because we'll see Jesus face to face. So there's a hint of expectation in the communion service. The idea here is keep this ordinance, and every time you keep it, recognize that this could be the last time. That Jesus could come again. This could be, tonight could be the last time we ever keep communion. Because the Lord Jesus Christ can come back at any moment. And when he does, oh, the glory and oh, the bliss. And so there's hope built into this communion service. There's hope for the future. You know, we get down as Christians. Maybe some of you came to church tonight and you're down. And you've got issues in life and you've got things that you're struggling with. And sometimes we get down, but you come to the communion service and you're reminded of how much Christ loves you, how much he's done for you in the past, and all that he's going to do for you in the future. And all the trials that we go through here mean nothing compared to the glory that's coming. So you look forward. And then one more direction, a fifth direction. At the communion table, every time we get together at the communion table, we should also look within. Look within. Look what it says in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That's telling us that when we sit at this table, we need to look within. We need to examine ourselves. We are not to participate in this in an unworthy manner. Now notice, we're not to participate this in an unworthy manner. He's not saying don't participate in this if you're an unworthy person. Who in here is worthy? In and of our own strength, to be at the Lord's table. We're at the Lord's table because he forgave us of our sins. Amen. But we should not partake in an unworthy manner. That's the emphasis. This word unworthy can mean careless. Careless. Irreverent. We are never to be careless with these elements. This is intended to be a very deep moment for you. For all of us as Christians. This isn't a snack at lunch break at school, right? There's holiness. There's rich meaning. Also, every time we sit at this table, it should be a time for us as Christians to kind of take spiritual inventory of your life. Examine yourself. Where are you with the Lord? Are you a Christian, but you have these blatant sinful things in your life? Do you have idols that you've put ahead of the Lord? And at this table, that's the time. You come and you say, Lord, examine me. Here's where I'm struggling. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for help. You personally get right with your Lord. And then, of course, the worst meaning and the primary meaning of this is we are not to partake of these elements as unbelievers. If you partake of the communion elements and you don't know what they represent and you've never received Christ, very strong warning here. Person who does that eats and drinks judgment to himself. You don't get saved by partaking of these elements. The partaking of these elements is for those who are saved only. It's a family meal. You only partake of communion as those who know what it represents, as those who have already received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then it's symbolic of what you've done. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I wouldn't say, you know, don't take. I would say come to know Jesus and then take. Remember what Christ has done. Receive him. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And then take communion. Let's dim the lights and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let me have the guys who are going to help me distribute come on up. Lord, I pray first for anyone here who does not know you. Pray for anyone here tonight who's not right with you. You can't make yourself right with God on your own effort. The only way to be made right with God is to have all of your sins forgiven all of them. And Jesus has made the forgiveness of sins possible at the cross because he paid the price for every sin that we committed. He died in our place. He took the judgment that we deserve. He's done all that work. And the scripture says if you place your faith in him, if you ask him to save you, to be your savior, you acknowledge your sin. You recognize what he did for you at the cross. Invite him to be your Lord. And all of your sins will be forgiven. You become born again. Become a member of his family. Have you done that? Have you done that? I want you to have that opportunity if you haven't. Just right there in the quietness of your heart. Just cry out to the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I place my faith in you right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Your body was broken. Your blood was spilled for me. I receive you. I receive the gift of salvation. Change me, make me born again. Fill me with your spirit. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we distribute these elements, I want you to just stay seated and in a time of reverence and private prayer and worship, and even maybe go through these things that we talked about deliberately. Look back and thank him for what he did. Look up and worship him. Look around and think of those folks that you need to get right with. Look ahead and be filled with hope. And look within. Examine yourself. Get right with them. Hold the elements and we'll all partake together. Lord, for the love that you have shown, love demonstrated in the great sacrifice that you made for us. We worship you tonight. Bless you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I'd like to take a little time and pray for anybody tonight that might need prayer. If you're here tonight and you have a physical issue that you're dealing with, physical health, maybe you're sick or something like that, we'd like to pray for you. So if that's you, I'd like you to stand up right where you're at. Anybody here? God bless you. In the back, God bless you. Two right here in the front. Anybody else? All right. If you feel comfortable, I'd like those of you who are around those that are standing, why don't you stand up and go lay your hands on them? Surround each one of these folks. And if you're standing around someone, you have hands on someone, maybe a couple of you just pray for that person. Those of you who are still seated, you keep praying for the healing of these folks. But you guys pray out loud for those who you are laying your hands on.